DW Africa Link.
24 nations are battling for continental glory at the 2025 Africa Cup of Nations. But here's a big question every fan is asking. Is AFCON living up to the hype? Are we getting the drama, the dazzling performances, and those unforgettable moments, you know, we've been all waiting for? Grab a seat, because today we're talking sports. I am Adjoate Nkrumah Domina, and this is Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that truly matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
AFCON 2025 kicked off in Morocco on December 21. So far, what's the experience been like? How does this tournament compare to previous editions? And what should football fans look forward to in the coming weeks? Well, to break it all down, we've got two passionate football minds with us. Ayomide Oguntimeyi, he's a football analyst. He's also the chief editor at soccernet.ng. And we also have DW correspondent Samson O'Malley, who's been following the tournament closely. Welcome to you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. And of course, it's good to be here.
Ayomide, let me begin with you. What's the most significant thing you've seen in this AFCON that you've not seen in previous years?
Well, this seems a bit much better. I think the Moroccans are much more, they are well prepared for this tournament, you know, and just like this motto, they are using a Kingdom of Football. This is actually more like Kingdom of Football. For myself, who is a Nigerian, I feel like, you know, they have the facilities well equipped. They have everything well planned, you know, the routes, the transport and everything, you know, to wherever you're getting to, it is very, very much organized. And, you know, talking about the pitch, talking about the atmosphere, talking about the, you know, the accommodation, the welfareism of the players, and, you know, a lot of things. I feel the difference, you know, between 2024 and 2025.
Interesting. Something, let me come to you. What differences can you pick up between the two?
I think that I was in Abidjan and I'll soon be in Morocco. And of course, I've been following through what's going on. Abidjan was quite different, different in the sense that we have a country who weren't preparing for any other championship. In this instance, Morocco is using the African Cup of Nations as a springboard because, again, they have the 2030 World Cup to host, you know, so approaches may be quite different because this time around, they're trying to ensure that they test most of their facilities, their infrastructure to ensure that, you know, people and, of course, visitors, football fans and all those who have one or two things to do with football hosting get a feel of what Morocco will likely present come 2030 when they host the World Cup. So we also look at the timing, for instance. This is the first time, Adwa, that we're having the Nations Cup being hosted during the Christmas period. Christmas, New Year is the very first time in the history of the championship. We've never heard it before that you have this happening at this time. So I think that's another unique part of it, that you have Christmas, New Year, having the Nations Cup being hosted at the time. So there's a whole lot that's different.
That means it's a good feel, doesn't it?
Yes, I'm sure it's a good feel. I mean, if you have a family, you want to spend your vacation different from where you are. And of course, you have, let me say, the African World Cup, right? The football, the biggest sporting spectacle on the African continent. And you're having that at Christmas and at New Year. It's an added advantage. And I can tell you that anybody will cash in on the opportunity to have that. So I think it's a different, only the bit of it is that, again, we're having this at a region of the continent where it's cold, it's literally winter. And then, of course, it is raining, unlike when we had this in Abidjan and, of course, in Cameroon the year before. And, you know, the climates and temperatures are completely different from what that's been experienced right now in Morocco.
Now, Ayomide, since this game started on 21st, correct? How has the games been? How are you seeing the teams, the countries? Which countries are surprising you? Which ones are disappointing you? Just tell us about how the performance have been so far.
Okay. Generally, I think that, you know, there has been no much of a surprise so far. I said something about, I think yesterday, about, you know, Morocco, South Africa, Egypt, you know, getting the, and the likes, getting the first, you know, the first win to set a tone for what is to come for the round of 16.
Samson, let me come back to you. In terms of performance, what are you expecting? What are other fans expecting from this year's AFCON?
You know, the 2023-2024 edition of AFCON, that's the last edition, the one hosted by Côte d'Ivoire, you know, literally set a marker. I'm talking about the 34th edition of the AFCON, set a marker for this AFCON, because I mean, we got several positives from it in terms of performance on the pitch of play, in terms of refereeing. I mean, never before did we get such commendation as to African referees, you know, during that tournament. And of course, the drama, the unbelievable drama that we witnessed in the last edition. We're hoping that now that the first round of the opening matches will be concluded, we'll begin to see that. I like to differ slightly with Ayomide, wherein he said, nothing different. I think there's a bit of a difference here, Ayomide, because you look at the game between Egypt and Zimbabwe. Egypt is going to the World Cup, and they had to leave it late into the 92nd minute or thereabout for them to be able to pull off a win over Zimbabwe. You also look at, talking about performance, Adwa, you also look at the game between South Africa and Angola. South Africa is also going to the World Cup, and it also had to leave it so late. This, you would think, are the top footballing nations, especially at the eve of the World Cup. And again, they are laboring hard, literally, to be able to secure their win. It's not coming on a platter.
Somebody will say it's early days yet. Don't you agree?
No, I don't agree, because again, if these are football powerhouses, just like Senegal did it so effortlessly, we should be able to also see these teams. I mean, look at Nigeria yesterday. They literally also were sweating through their pants, as it were, because the Tanzanians, the Typhoons, weren't just a pushover. So in terms of performance, I think that we're yet to see, even though they are early days, agree, but we should be able to start having, you know, see how the boys will be separated from the men. Give us like an inkling into what we should expect when the second round of matches starts next week.
Right. So I am sure then you agree that this is like a litmus test for the World Cup to come. In terms of the disappointment you've expressed in some of the powerhouses, do you think anything can change? And do you think they can make a good difference at the World Cup?
That's a tough call. I mean, I watched Morocco, arguably, supposedly the best, you know, team on the continent at the moment. And that first game, they literally were a shadow of themselves, literally. And if Morocco could labor to win over the Comoros, I'm just wondering what would be our lot by the time we get to the World Cup. Same also with South Africa, I just spoke about. Same also with Egypt, you know, and all of that. So I don't know if we'll be able to. Well, Ghana is not here, unfortunately, for us to be able to also measure what their performance would be like ahead of the World Cup. And I think it's a big minus for the Black Stars not to be at this Nation's Cup, because it will serve as a tune-up.
We are watching keenly. Don't worry. Don't worry about it at all. We are preparing. But I agree. I absolutely agree with you, because this would have been, you know, a good performance review for the Black Stars ahead of the big World Cup game. But it's also a bummer, really, that Nigeria is also not making it for the World Cup. I don't know what's happening with us. We missed AFCON, you missed World Cup.
I don't know what's happening, but maybe Ayomide will have something to say about that. Because
what do you have to say?
About you guys missing the World Cup and missing the AFCON and getting the...
Exactly.
Well, Nigeria also not going to the World Cup and then being at AFCON. Quite interesting.
You can't eat your cake and have it. So it's just like that, you know. But it's surprising though, you know, not to have Ghana, you know, experience something like this, the atmosphere just like this. You know, Ghana is so used to the sun and all that. So I was expecting, you know, them to come and, you know, experience the tech. I'm just kidding anyway. But on a serious note, I really can't place it. But, you know, yeah, I feel like Ghana have all it takes to advance to, let's say, the quarterfinals of this competition. You know, they would actually, you know, get somewhere, and, you know, they will still be a threat to some opponents. But at the World Cup, you know, well, we never can tell. They can, you know, bring on the previous performance they had. Was it 2010 or something? 2010. You know, that kind of performance. You know, maybe they can bring it on again also. But I do not see that happening. Not now. Not tomorrow. Maybe, you know, some months preparation and all that. They might. Actually,
We will surprise you. Don't worry.
You guys are actually known for surprises, so yes,
of course, good surprises. I hope.
Sure.
Anyways, let's come back to the AFCON because that's what we are discussing now. I don't want the World Cup to take a lot of our attention. In terms of what this tournament means to African football, what can you tell us? Any of you can pick that question.
Well, I think that this is the biggest advertisement, if you ask me, and that's the way I want to put it, for African players and for African football. I mean, leading up to this tournament, the Confederation of African Football, CAF, was able to secure a television right, broadcast right for the United Kingdom, free to air. It means for the first time, if you're in the UK, you'll be able to watch all the games of the African Cup of Nations for free. So what that means is that people who have heard or based on the performance from the last edition and were keen on trying to follow the games will have an opportunity for free to be able to watch, you know, AFCON. And what that means is that, hey, look, there's going to be more eyeballs, more attention. And then you will have several players who ply their trade across a number of leagues in Europe, you know, whether it's in Italy, whether it's in France, in the Ligue 1, or it's in the UK in the Premier League, or is this in the Spanish La Liga, you know, and all of those, and of course, and even beyond, they want to see how their players are performing. I mean, Mohamed Salah, for instance, is in the news at the moment. He's trending even as we speak. And so a lot of, you know, attention will be, oh, what will be his performance like in this AFCON? So that alone it's a good attention that AFCON will draw. And again, for players who haven't had the opportunity to, you know, to make it big or to play for the big clubs in Europe, their performance here, like, again, you look at some certain countries, especially the East African countries, Tanzania, Uganda, who don't have players, maybe enough players, for me to put it that way, playing in European clubs. If they do so well, this would be a good advertisement for them.
Thank you for that, Samson. I want to come to you in terms of the advertisement we're talking about, not just of African football, but of the players. Which players should we look out for in this tournament to, you know, catch the eye of these European teams?
So far for Nigeria, I think that Ebenezer Akinsamiro, you know, he hasn't gotten the you know, the minutes yet, but I think he's someone to look out for, especially when, you know, he has done something at the club level, you know, for him to even earn a call up to the Super Eagles squad. So I feel like he would actually do something. He would give us that kind of Sunday Oba, you know, performance. I would have said Benjamin Frederick, but he's not actually available. Adebayo being that guy was, you know, wasn't injured, I can tell you that the likes of, you know, a big club would actually love to sign him. Yes. But, you know, right now, Ademola Lookman scored yesterday. This is summer winter window. I'm not sure. He's actually busy. So I'm not sure there'll be anything like leaving Atalanta at the moment. But if he can actually keep this up, this performance up, I'm sure that, you know, his value would definitely increase for the summer window. And yeah, of course, there have been rumors around Victor Osimhen being wanted by Real Madrid, you know. Right. So we never can tell. He would definitely give us, you know, something to, you know, a good performance. Mohamed Salah, we know that, you know, I don't want to talk about these big guys. But this former Manchester United midfielder, is it Anibal of Tunisia? You know, he got minutes yesterday against Uganda, and he played very well. So I want to believe that if he can actually continue this way, he's another player to actually look out for, you know.
Okay.
You know, moving forward, yes.
Okay, Samson, let me pick your thoughts on which teams, this time not the players, but which teams you think can go or most likely will go all the way to the finals.
That's a tough one. Having watched Senegal, right? I think from Group D, we should look out for Senegal. We should also look out for Congo DR. You know, they cost Nigeria all the problems, preventing Nigeria from going to the World Cup. And their performance in their first game was something to think about, really. So you look at the likes of Senegal, Congo DR, and obviously even Morocco. It's one team we should also keep our eyes on very closely. There are a couple of teams who have not played. They will be having their opening games today, like Ivory Coast, Cameroon, Gabon, Mozambique, Zambia, Algeria, Tanzania, and the rest of them. So, I mean, Tanzania played yesterday, I beg your pardon. So we'll look at Ivory Coast, Cameroon also, defending champion. I think it's another team we should look out for. Then, a bit of the underdogs, right? Let's not take our eyes off Comoros. Even though they lost their first game against Morocco, they're quite a strong team. And even Angola are not pushovers at all. So those are a few teams I think that we should look out for. They may progress into the second round. And then possibly in the quarterfinals, a few of the teams I've mentioned, we should be able to see them in the quarterfinals. Of course, Nigeria, I'm a little bit
skeptical,
not too comfortable and not too confident with the play from the Super Eagles. So I'm a bit careful and cautious as to how I will name them amongst the last eight teams, you know, of the tournament.
We wait to see. But guys, I want to pick your thoughts on, you know, this shakeup in the African football, you know, and with the creation of the new African Nations League and the tournament moving to 4 years from 2028. Samson, let me begin with you and then Ayomide can continue.
I'm not too comfortable with it because I think that, and this is me just being a proud African, that we are playing into the hands of FIFA, we're playing into the hands of those who have developed their own game, and specifically the Europeans, because again, over time, we had a certain time we play our football or we play the AFCON tournament. And then, of course, this is confirmed even from what the CAF president said, Patrice Motsepe, during his press conference on Saturday. He did say and did confirm that they want to bring everything in alignment with what's happening in Europe. And I think that should not be this. That should not be the reason. I honestly felt a bit slighted as an African that, I mean, we can maintain our own calendar, maintain our own structure, and find a way of improving on it rather than trying to bring it in alignment and satisfy some other associations or confederations who already have got their own structure in place, and then we have to kowtow. I wasn't very comfortable about that. Even though the CAF president did say that, yeah, it will improve African football, and now it's also becoming more about the money, you know, and all that. Yes, football is big business, you know, and yeah, we need the money, we need to improve. But I didn't feel comfortable that we have to align with confederations and associations that already have had their own structure well in place, and we have to now try to align with them. That's my exception to what's happened here so far.
I mean, do you agree?
Well, I'm actually more comfortable with, you know, with the 2 years interval more than you know, aligning it with this. It doesn't really sit well with me, because, but on the other hand, I feel like they will have you know, more plannings, more time to plan. But the other side of it is, most of the time people see AFCON as a way to develop, you know, their country. Of course, we know what the money, the everything that comes around, you know, AFCON, you know, has done to so many, you know, low countries, you know, developing countries like that, you know, in terms of their peaches, in terms of the what tourists and everyone, you know, fans bring to that country, and, you know, develop and boost the economy from there. We know what is actually going to happen to Morocco during this period. So every 2 years actually works well, because there are more countries to benefit from things like that. But, you know, 4 years, it's very long. But another side of it, I'm picking from both sides, but definitely I am actually not comfortable with it, just like Samson said. But I feel like there are just some two sides to it. You know, from my own observation, they're just side to it.
But in talking about, you know, development of the football and the whole entire rationale that brought about this change, what are some of the areas you think that AFCON could have improved, or African football could have improved, and not necessarily gone this route of, you know, this 4 year changing the league name and all of that? What in your opinion, what can change for the better?
I think the timing should change. I think the timing should change. For instance, this current period, this current tournament doesn't actually. It's during the season. You know, there are so many games that we always watch around this period, and, you know, I feel like they should have done better with it, you know, moving it to where it is much more comfortable for clubs and, you know, for countries and all that. And also, just like Samson had said, we should actually not play to the hands of FIFA. We already have we already have the tempo, we already have the plan, we already have the way we are actually doing our things, and we're actually enjoying it. It's kind of funny and unthinkable for me to say that, okay, the next time I'm going to go for AFCON is the next 4 years. Definitely in 4 years, I might have two kids. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, yeah, so it's still unthinkable for me.
Which is not bad anyways. You can take your kids, you know, to watch the
yeah, true.
Anyways, Samson, let me come back to you in wrapping up just in 30 seconds. Tell me, what should fans look out for in the knockout stage?
Drama, excitement, and beautiful football, and a bit of controversy too.
Okay, how about you, Ayomide? 30 seconds.
Well, excitement anyway, and there will be a lot of controversy, you know, definitely. Some people will be cheated, while some people will be. So it's between both. There will be winners, and of course, there will be losers going on.
Most definitely, there will always be winners. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your time. Samson Omale is DW correspondent in Nigeria. We also had Ayomide Oguntimenyi joining us, you know, all the way from Morocco. He is the chief editor of SoccerNet Nigeria. Thank you once again, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
Well, as the tournament heats up, will the excitement keep building, or are we in for some surprises? Which teams could deliver the biggest shocks of AFCON 2025? Share your thoughts and predictions with us on Facebook at DW Africa, listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Kaleji. I am Ajua Tinkrama Domina, and many thanks for listening. Wishing you all the best of the new year.
DW, made for minds.